look like we're a big group here tonight. Well, I wonder how many more Wednesdays are we going to get told that it's going to blizzard and it doesn't show up. This is two. There's six. What's that, Dave? I know it. Winter goes out like a lion. Spring will come in like a lamb tomorrow. But anyway, it's good to see everybody here tonight. I mean, those of you that are here. We have some on Zoom, wherever you may be. Hey, we're glad that you showed up tonight as well. And tonight, the singing that's in your bulletin, there's one on a stool back there as you come in. I'm going to go sit down and let Melissa lead us in the songs, however she wants to do that. So, but you got the words in here. And I'd like to thank my wife for making sure we have bulletins tonight with the words in them as well. So any announcements that need to be made tonight? Oh, by the way, there is no potluck supper tonight. Just want you to know that. We had to make that call early on just because we didn't know what was going to happen. The way it sounded on the weather reports, it's like we were not going to be here tonight at all because of a blizzard that was going to last all day. And it didn't happen, and a lot of it went further south and east, and here we are. And someone's going to ask, did you have services on Wednesday night? And you can say, where were you? I don't say that. We just said, yeah, we did. Nancy. Yes. Is he still in Sioux Falls? Oh, okay. Hold on. Time out. We'll get you. Just among us, I guess. Okay. Sad to hear that. Okay, well, let's have a word of prayer tonight as we do Lent number two, as we continue on our journey to the cross with Jesus on his last week here on earth before he's crucified is what we're kind of focusing on tonight. We're going to take a look at the temple and the things that happened there at that particular time. But let us pray first, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that you've given to us, one that we didn't think would happen. And we knew that it would be a small gathering here tonight, and yet there's a surprise in it because Ross Lures is here. And whoever would have thought that she would be here, I sure didn't think that. And so we are thankful that we can be in your presence and giving us another time that we can meditate and think about the things that you did for us that shed some light on more things than what we ever thought of as well. As we study your word together tonight or take a look at your word tonight as Jesus goes to the temple. And so we just pray, Lord, that those that are joining us by Zoom, that they will be blessed even though they're in the safety of their home and the warmth of their home. Or wherever they're at, whatever state they may be in, we're grateful that we can be here tonight and just share in this way. And so we ask your blessing, Lord, to be upon, Jim, with some heart issues, or was it a stroke? It was a stroke, okay, so he's probably has some droopiness or some speech issues that are going on with him, and I'm sure it's a real surprise to both Jim and and his wife and people that know him as well. They just think he's too healthy of a guy for something like that to take place. But Lord, we pray for him. May your presence be with him even as we pray for him here this evening. And bring about what only you can do in cases like this and situations like this. May it be a time of just reaching out to you by faith and just saying, Lord, I've never been in this situation like this before, but I'm here wanting you to do whatever you can do for me because I have that need in my life. And Lord, you can hear that even if we can't say it. You can read our minds. You know what's in our hearts. And we pray that tonight that you would touch his body, touch his brain, and touch his face and bring about what only you can do. So thank you for what we are going to be able to share here tonight and learn together. And may the music be used in a way that also points us upward to Jesus and to our Heavenly Father. And so we pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first song this evening will be There Is None Like You. I believe it is a song that we have sung before because it comes out of Bob Floss's file. Do you know this one, Bob? Okay, you can sing it then. Because I'm going to sit down and I'm going to turn it over to Melissa to be able to play it and sing it. And I know we can join you if we want. And we will join you. Okay, take it away, Melissa. Thank you, Melissa. Just want to remind us what Isaiah the prophet says about Jesus in Isaiah 53. Only two verses, verse 3 and verse 6, is what I'm going to read here tonight. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The message tonight comes from Luke chapter 19. Verse 45 through 48, which is the end of that chapter. And that's what we focus on here tonight. And I read in Jesus' name, I'd make you stand, but maybe you just had supper and you go like, I just want to sit. I don't know. But you can stand just out of reverence to God's 45. to the end of the chapter, which is 48. I read in Jesus' name. Then he entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. It is written, he said to them, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. So Lord, be with us this evening as we consider and think and let your words come alive in our hearts and in our lives. We pray in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Just a little review from last week. Ross, you don't have to worry about this because you weren't here last week. But the rest of you, oh, Dave, you're safe too. You're okay. But we're going to pick on Curtis. No, we won't either. But where did we see Jesus last week? Do you remember? That's right, on the road. We're looking at different places now where Jesus traveled, where he went on the last week. It's called a Passion Week before he's crucified. And so we found Jesus on the road riding on a Mercedes, or in a Mercedes, right? Or was it a Lamborghini? It was a Bronco, a Ford Bronco. Well, he's riding on a donkey, which was a fulfillment of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9, where he prophesied of saying that there would be, like, the Messiah would come riding into Jerusalem one day on a donkey. And the significance that it was a donkey, actually it was a colt of a mother donkey. The amazing thing is that that colt had never been ridden before. And here we find Jesus sitting on this colt, and some of the disciples had put their cloaks on the back of that animal, and he rode into Jerusalem as people were shouting a lot of different sayings. They were shouting some psalms, some things that were mentioned in the book of Psalms, of like Hosanna, and Hosanna to the Son of David. We find that in Matthew. We find in Mark, it says, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so those were the kind of things that people were shouting, and they cut off branches and they were waving them and putting them on the road as he comes riding in on a donkey. The significance of the donkey is not only that it fulfilled scripture, but it also meant that he came on what kind of an animal? It's referred to as an animal of what? Starts with P. Peace. And he's a king. He's referred to as a king coming into Jerusalem. And typically, if a king would come in to any place, he would be coming in on probably a horse that would be prancing. It'd be more likely probably a white stallion that they'd come in on. And here's Jesus riding in on a donkey. Goes really against. The people wanted to make him king. They were hoping he would be a political king that would set them free from the Roman Empire and the stranglehold that the Rome had upon the people of Israel, on the Jews. So now as he enters into the city, where does he go next? Duh. Yeah, he goes to the temple. And when he gets to the temple, we find that John, the gospel writer of John, really mentions nothing about Jesus going to the temple, but you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke who do make reference to him going to the temple once he rides in on the triumphant entry, which we oftentimes hear that on Palm Sunday. It's kind of the beginning of the Passion Week. So why did Jesus go to the temple? And then what did Jesus do? What's kind of the big deal about him going to the temple? That shouldn't surprise us. He was there when he was 13 years old. Remember? his parents took off, and they thought he was with the rest of the family, and they realized he was not there, and it took them 3 days before they found him at the temple. And he was teaching the older people, the other religious leaders, things that a 13-year-old or a 12-year-old shouldn't even have any knowledge of. But he is definitely the Son of God. He's a Messiah. And so when he gets to the temple, one of the first things he does, what the Bible tells us, is that he began driving out those who were selling things in the temple. These are called the money changers. Now, the money changers typically do not go up to the temple and sell things. What's going on at this time? Why they would be up there selling things? What would they be selling? Why are there so many people coming to Jerusalem at this time? Well, yeah, it's the Feast of the Passover is coming. So everybody is coming to celebrate the Feast of the Passover. And for them, they would have to have a sacrifice in worshiping God. And so guess what the money changers were selling? All different kinds of animals and birds. Pigeons or doves would be for those that were very poor. And so anytime you'd hear that somebody bought or sacrificed some doves or a small bird or something, it was because they didn't have much. If people wanted to buy a lamb, that was a different story, but it had to be an unblemished lamb. It had to be one that was 1 year old. So you had to think about, you know, there would be a lot of these kinds of animals and birds in the temple area. It would be like going to Walmart and seeing all kinds of stuff. But here you got the sounds of the animals, you've got the smell of the animals, and Jesus comes up there and he goes, uh-uh. And he started kicking over the tables, he pushed people who were sitting on the chairs, he just chased the money changers out of there because that was not the place where they were supposed to be selling anything. When we were over in Israel, we went by a place, it's down from the temple area, where there was little cubicles, you know, this little boxed areas, that's where the tables and the money changers were able to sit in, and that's where people would exchange their money to make shekels, to get shekels, because you had to be Jewish shekels in order to make their purchase kosher, I guess. But what happened here is that the money changers would oftentimes sell things for more, and then they would pocket some of the money. But they also knew that they had to give some of their money that they made at the temple, they had to give it to the Sadducees, which a man by the name of Annas had been the high priest for 10 years, and he then didn't do a good enough job, and he lost his job, but then his sons followed him as high priest. He had 5 sons, and then he had a son-in-law that became the high priest, and he's the one we're more familiar with because his name was Caiaphas. And so Annas is kind of like, would be like a modern-day mafia guy. He was looking out for the family, and he kept control and he kept power, even though he was not the high priest anymore. But he was still behind the scenes. And when he had heard that Jesus came and kicked out the money changers, Annas didn't like that. It affected his wallet, his pockets. And so therefore, the Sadducees now were pulled into all of this whole thing of with Jesus. The Pharisees were there, but the Pharisees were more for the common person, the everyday person, the ordinary person, the ordinary Jew. They were more concerned about them. The Sadducees were more upper crust. They were more the elite of the religious leaders that were there. And so that's kind of what goes along with the money changers. And that's why they were in the wrong spot. They needed to be down below where the temple is with their animals and things like that selling. And they were up there in the temple area, which they should not have been. That's why Jesus showed some holy anger. He got mad, and it's probably the only place where a lot of times people say, like, well, Jesus got angry, so he had to sin. No, it was a righteous anger. He was doing what God's word said, that this house, that the house of the Lord is a place of what? Prayer. It's not a marketplace. It's not a place to sell things. And so that's when Jesus says, it is written, and he's quoting Isaiah 56, 7. He says, it is written that my house will be a house of prayer, but you made it a den of robbers. He's quoting scripture. When's the last time you heard when Jesus said, it is written? Remember? When he was tempted by the devil after he had was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. When the devil would come and tempt him, he'd always say, it is written. And he'd go back to Deuteronomy and counter the temptation that the devil wanted him to fall and fail in. So we go to Jeremiah 7:11. That's where we kind of find out about the robbers, the den of robbers. It's the same word in the Hebrew as it is in the Greek that go together. The den of robbers. So you go from a house of prayer to a den of robbers. Now, I mean, it's like also being one of those, what do they call them? We hear in the news, those guys from Venezuela, those criminals. Well, they're worse than the 13 guys. These guys are even worse. They're the DTA, I think they call them. The D. Well, they're not deplorables. There you go. A T, yeah, maybe it's TDA. Maybe it's a TDA they're called, yeah. So you kind of think of like, here you come, Jesus coming to a house of prayer, and here he finds it's more like an auction sale going on there, or it's something that people can buy. So we find that, you know, Jesus taught in the temple area every day. He didn't hide anything. He was always speaking out in the open. Anyone could listen to him. Anyone could learn from him. Anyone could be there. And so he really shows some real transparency that what he was speaking on and what he was talking about, maybe it was on prayer. Maybe it was on the holiness of God, why that's important. Maybe he was there just to preach about the gospel and explain the gospel to the people that they didn't get before. But that's what he'd be teaching, things in that temple area. And it says that even the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the religious leaders, they heard Jesus doing this teaching. But what's interesting is that even though they were considered the religious guys, they had something else on their mind through all of this. They saw how the people were really taking in what Jesus was teaching them about. And we find that in the crowd that is there listening to Jesus teach, there's also evil there lurking among the people in that crowd that a lot of them didn't even know about. The evil that is lurking there is another one of Satan's opportunities. After the temptation in the desert or the wilderness, now Satan is still at work. He'll come in at another direction, another way, and here he comes in, and you find that there's no love in the hearts of these religious people. Because in their hearts, it was really filled with hate. What they were hearing Jesus teaching on and about, they didn't like it. They didn't like what he said. And it goes on, and it says here in Luke that the leaders, was talking about the chief priests, the teachers of law, and the leaders among the people, they were thinking of a way of how they could kill Jesus. So you got that on their minds. You know, you got people who really want to hear what Jesus is talking about, And there in the midst of them are some people, people that they never ever think of. They were very pious. They were their leaders in the religious, spiritual part of their lives and in the community. And here they wanted to murder him, find some way to murder him. And the thing that kept them from doing that is that they saw that the people hung on every word that Jesus was teaching them. So they were afraid of the people. They didn't want to do anything that would make the people mad, but they were trying to think of a way, how can they kill this guy? Remember, we heard this before, even before Jesus came in on riding on a donkey, he brought Lazarus back from the grave, remember? And there was Pharisees there. And after he brought Lazarus back from the dead, that was the plot then. They wanted to kill not only Jesus, but now they wanted to kill Lazarus. They wanted to get rid of both of them. And we don't know anything about Lazarus after this, but we know they did succeed with Jesus eventually. So the people are hung on every word that Jesus is teaching them. And they had no idea that there was some in the midst, some in the crowd there, that their minds were evil. And here they are, they're standing in probably one of the most sacred and holy places in the Jewish culture, in the Temple Mount. It'd be considered a holy place. And Jesus is teaching there. And now these guys, who are the real pious ones, the ones that you'd look up to as being the ones that would tell you more about what was in the Old Testament, they're the ones that they're plotting to try to kill Jesus, wanting to do it, and trying to think of a way and how that can be done. So a lot of people there had no idea that this is what was on the minds of some of those that were there listening to him. So I ask you this question tonight. Does that sound anything like us? Can we do that? Can we be in a place where we want to be nurtured and to be taught the things of God, and at the same time we have hate in our hearts? We just kind of think about a person or people or whatever it is that we don't like. We can be thinking about those things even though we're hearing something good or singing things that are very uplifting as well. In Luther's Small Catechism, there's one question, real easy answer. Martin Luther actually has this in his catechism. The question is, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? And the answer is, everyone. Everyone's my neighbor. It's not just the one that lives next to you, the closest to you is your neighbor, no. Everyone is my neighbor, which means I then need to love my neighbor, even if I have a hard time with that, if it's difficult. That's where Jesus comes in, that he will help me to love my neighbor. If I can't, he will make that happen. And so here we have Jesus, who is perfect. He's a perfect man, isn't he? What did he ever do wrong? Nothing. And still, Jesus, being perfect as he was, he still had enemies. People who did not like him, people who wanted to kill him, and eventually carried out that plan. We'll get into that later on. So just think this. We who are sinners, we know because we're sinners, are we perfect? We're not perfect. We're not. But how we treat others in the church or outside of the church says a lot about us too. We don't always do that perfectly. We sometimes mess up. Maybe we mess up more than we like. But that's where we need a Savior, because if I sin, I need forgiveness. Jesus is my Savior. And he will forgive, and he will help me to live for him in the days ahead. So if you find yourself saying, like, I really have a problem with someone, well, remember that someone is your neighbor. I keep telling my wife this. I'm her special neighbor. But we all have issues sometimes with that. So we need to repent. And that's kind of what the prophets of the Old Testament keep saying over and over to the Israelites. Repent. Turn back to God. Give those things over to Him, and He will forgive you every time. He'll forgive you and help you whenever you're tempted or need to be forgiven again. So we need to ask God to forgive us. We need to admit that we are wrong. We need to come to Jesus and admit we've messed up. And we are seeking His forgiveness. We want to know that we're forgiven. And we know that every time God's grace is there, He will forgive. And we kind of start all over again. And hopefully we learn something through it and by it. So that's kind of where, you know, Jesus in the temple. A lot of you are good at going to church. And even myself, I'm the only one that gets paid to come to church. You know, that's what I meant, a little bit different, but it doesn't mean, a long time ago somebody said, you're paid to be nice, aren't you? And I'm going like, no. Well, wait a minute. I suppose there is some truth to that. But I go, I am who I am, you know. I don't want you to look at it that way. I don't look at it that way at all. I just am who I am. I just want to reflect Jesus into the lives of people. And sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. But I need to ask for forgiveness when I don't. So Jesus, as He comes as a perfect man, we need Him. We need Him all the time. And so that's what I leave with you tonight. We need Jesus. And we need to admit that we need Him in our lives as well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, the temple is a holy place. It is a house of prayer. It is where we spend time with You and we focus on You. We don't go along with all the distractions that Jesus found here. And we thank You that He did what needed to be done. And I'm sure He was respected by the others who were there when that all took place. But we know that it really bothered some other people that they could not get over that, and they just wanted to get even with Him somehow, some way, but they would not settle for anything less than that He would die, that they could somehow find a way to murder Him or just get Him out of the way so that they could have their lives continue to go on like it had been. Because they had power and prestige. Lord, forgive us if we ever come to that point and place in our lives where we think that we don't need You, but we got everything under control ourselves. May we just stop and realize how we are going away from You. We're just like sheep who've wandered away. May we come back to You as You are the good shepherd. And You will do nothing but the best for Your sheep. And You did go and did the best for us as You went to the cross in our place. It is You that shed Your blood. It is You, Lord, that gave Your body up for us. Because You loved us and You cared about us. And that we did not have to buy a sacrifice from that day forward, because we could go straight to God, because You opened the way to Him, that we don't need an in-between person anymore other than just You yourself. So Lord, use these words tonight as we think about Jesus going into the temple. And maybe there's something in our own lives and our own hearts that He needs to come in and tip over the tables and the chairs and to run out of our lives that just keeps us from following him or seeing you clearly. May you have a house cleaning in our own hearts and our own lives as well. So thank you for your word that always tells us about who you are and how much we need you, how much you love us and how much you care about us as well. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The next song is one that Melissa will sing, and we can sing along with her or just read the words and listen. It's all up to you. We sang this, I think, last Sunday, right?
Yeah. We sang this on Sunday.
Yep. So we will sing this song, and we'll come back and pray the Lord's Prayer together and dismiss you at that time, okay?
Here's my heart, Lord.
Thanks, Melissa. Speak what is true. Let's close with praying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go in God's peace. You are dismissed.